It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We are definitely talking about the Chicago Cubs and a 5-0 win over the San Francisco Giants today, featuring Justin Steele's performance, 8 innings, shutout style, struck out 12, and they all felt huge because this was a close game for a lot of this game. Walked a couple of guys, allowing just 2 hits on the way. Steele was superb. Seiya Suzuki continues his turnaround, a home run, an RBI double. Fielder's choice RBI, and he was going up against a formidable opponent mound-wise, and that was Logan Webb. So just a good, clean win for the Cubs today to get them back to 10 games over 500, and a completely improbable regular season continues for the Cubs, unprecedented for the Cubs anyway. The first Cubs team, 2023 Cubs, first team in franchise history to go over 10 games over 500 after being 10 games under 500. Really has been miraculous and obviously highly entertaining. It's nice to see the Cubs in the last couple of days anyway, actually scoring some late runs to allow Cubs fans to breathe a little bit, to allow the bullpen to breathe a little bit. 15-7 yesterday and 5-0 yesterday or today. It just feels like most games this year, or since the games became of consequence, since we all started to pay attention again, they have been 1 or 2 run games. I mean, I think there was a streak of games very recently where I think it was around 10 games that were all 10 straight games that were all decided by 2 runs, 1 or 2 runs, which is just, that is a stressful way to live. But as long as the majority of them are wins, and your heart can handle it, and you could look at it just objectively enough to say that's entertaining baseball, then I suppose it's okay. 312-644-6767. Who do you give the most credit for this to this Cubs turnaround? I'm giving it to Jed Hoyer. A lot of candidates, though, and that's why I'm throwing the question out there. I've gotten a lot of good answers and a lot of good calls today. 312-644-6767. We will talk Bears. I'll tell you some of the hits from the day and what I am thinking about the Green Bay game in just a little bit. And before Chicago takes on Green Bay in the season opener, tune in Sunday morning from 9 to noon for the PNC Bank pregame show presented by your local Ford dealers and Fox Valley Coins. Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley will get you set for the Week 1 showdown. Then immediately following the game, we will have the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley will have instant reaction to the season opener. All of it can be heard on 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app. Beverly is in one of my top favorite towns, LaPorte, Indiana. Hello, Beverly.
Hello, Mark. First, I have a couple points. The first one is I believe give credit to Jed Hoyer for bringing this group together, for one, and not trading him at the deadline. And I just think they're on a roll. But let me tell you, 2 years ago, I went up there with 10 other people, 11 of us, to see the Cubs play before they traded off our core group the Sunday before they were traded off. And they won. And but last year, I didn't get to go up to see the Cubs at all. Mm. I had some health problems, and I had open heart surgery on November 11th. When I was recovering and we got together for Christmas, I asked my family if they would consider for my 80th birthday, which was August 23rd of this year, if we could, as many could go up to see the Cubs play as possible. August 5th, 14 of us went up to see the Cubs play. And that was the day after Atlanta really skunked us on Friday the 4th.
Right.
We were there on the 5th, and we won.
Yes.
And I think that was another turning point.
That's a great call.
With them.
Spot on. Yeah, because they won the next two games, right, Beverly?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And Assad was really great, but the bullpen really came alive, and Alzolay has been doing a tremendous job. I know he blew a couple, but I'm hoping that he'll get his confidence back. But keeping Judd Hoyer, keeping this group together, I think is wonderful that they did that. And another thing. Every year before the season, I ask my family on the text to predict how many wins we were going to have. Well, I predicted the highest,
nice.
93 wins.
Wow.
And the lowest was 80 of the 12 that gave me my predictions. I think if Bellinger wouldn't have been on the injured list the weeks that he was, maybe we would be closer to 93 right now.
You're spinning for yourself,
I'm
Beverly.
I'm hopeful that we'll do really well.
Oh, man.
I have something on my bucket list, Mark.
Okay.
The next time you're in beautiful LaPorte, Indiana, I would like to meet you. I'm 80 years old, so I'm not a threat, you know. But I would like to meet you and tell you more about this wonderful city of LaPorte, Indiana.
You know what, Beverly? I will probably be in LaPorte, Indiana next year as well with my college buddies, and I will seek you out. So next time I'm, you know, as it gets closer, let's talk, okay?
Okay.
All right,
that
Beverly.
That sounds great.
Beverly,
and I miss you being on the pre-game, post-game, like you were in 2016 and that. So
well, thank you, Beverly.
I miss you doing that. So, it's going good. And, of course, Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer are
wonderful.
Hey,
Beverly,
really quickly,
are you doing okay? The recovery from open-heart surgery? I mean, that's heavy duty, Beverly.
Well, yes, I had some complications, and I was down for 3 months after Christmas with the infection in my chest cavity. But I had to have infusions every day, 7 days a week for 6 weeks, but we got the infection cleared up. I didn't have to be opened up anymore.
Oh, good. Well,
so I am doing well,
great.
And I went through cardiac rehab. I'm doing fine, Mark. Thank you.
All right,
thank
Beverly.
Thank you so much for asking, and
sure.
I love the Cubs.
All right,
my
Beverly.
My first time to watch the Cubs, I was in junior high school. My sister and brother-in-law took me up there, it was in the 50s, late 50s. It was a wonderful time, and I have gone up as much as I can, but I listen to them. I prefer listening to the Cubs game instead of watching.
Oh,
I listen
God,
to them
God bless
every,
you.
Every day, because you get so much information.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, they're the Hall of Famer calling the games. Beverly, thank you so much for the call. It's great to hear your voice, and I would not rule it out. You know, I'll be in LaPorte next year, so we shall see. It's really a great point by Beverly. That Atlanta game, like, that was one of the first, like, true, because I think before the Atlanta series, hadn't that been the Sox series and, like, a couple of cupcakes? And I think that the Atlanta series revived whatever you needed from the Cubs in terms of beating a real team. That was accomplished in that series because, they got thumped in that first game, if I remember correctly. But I'll be damned if they didn't come back and win the next two games in really strong fashion. And again, that is just one of the symbolic things about this Cubs team this year, that when you think they're down, they're not. Those horrible, fill in your adjective, losses. Maybe the two worst losses of the season relative to where we are right now were the two walk-off losses in Cincinnati. They make good yesterday in a weird game, win 15-7, and then they win this game today over San Francisco, and now it feels like those games didn't even happen. I mean, we're mentioning them because it's definitely a good reference point, but now it feels like it didn't even happen. So that's a great point to bring that up. There are many moments like that throughout the season where, like, okay, if this didn't happen or that did happen, and that's why the Cubs are where they are. Somebody was asking about Alexander Canario. Has he even had an at-bat yet? I don't think he's had an at-bat yet. I don't believe he has. I do have more faith in him than I did in Caleb Killian. And the only reason I put those two together is because both of those guys were parts for the Chris Bryant trade to San Francisco. So, whenever it happens, I think we would know. I think if Canario had an at-bat, I would know right now, because it would have been he has not had an at-bat. So, in other words, Alexander Canario has not had a single major league at-bat yet. His next at-bat with the Cubs would be his first in Major League Baseball, assuming that he does eventually get it. So maybe like a good 17-0 game, you put Canario in there and see what he can do. Let's go to JD on the north side. Hello, JD, you're on the Score.
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
Great, JD, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good.
Obviously love the show, and just there's a lot to credit for sure to this turnaround, and I definitely am not as concerned as I was just with some of, I think all season really the bats weren't an issue, or it was kind of more the bullpen. But question I have for you just moving forward this next month is what do you hope to see personally as we're trying to make a run towards, these wild card spots or catch up to the Brewers?
As
we start to ease, yesterday with the news with Stroman. I mean, he was just so on and dealing the whole year until the All-Star break. And then you could tell, his hamstring was just not where it was. But what are you hoping to see, I guess, for him and maybe some of these bullpen starts or just to even ease him back in? Because, I mean, like I've been telling my friends, when the Cubs had, obviously the 2015, 2016, 17 years were great with everyone, but you got a 1-2 punch, and like they had Arrieta and Lester back then, but now, I mean, Steele and Stroman, like that can take you places,
No doubt, man. Thanks for the call. It's a good one. We haven't even mentioned Marcus Stroman today. Imagine if the Cubs had Marcus Stroman throughout all of this. Now, Stroman, before he went on the injured list, we don't know exactly when he was injured because it's a secret, apparently. Yeah, but the Stroman's being like the Cubs or the Bears with all this stuff, but. Like, he was bad for a while. I mean, 4 or 5 starts where Stroman was not looking good, and I'd like to think that it was the injury. I hope. I mean, we always want to give players the benefit of the doubt when they're going when they are all-star caliber. He was an all-star, and then they all of a sudden start to sink. That is what was going on with him. That's why some doubted, including me to some degree, that the guy was even hurt. Was it just a classic, let's put him on the injured list, let's get him right, let's miss a couple starts, and now he's nowhere to be seen. So I am just going, just based on the reports that I read and hear from the beat reporters, the people that cover the team every single day, it's very mysterious, and it doesn't sound like he's coming back. You know what it has shades of, unfortunately, and I don't expect the same fate for Marcus Stroman, it has shades of Lonzo Ball. Like, you just don't know what really happened. You don't know how long you keep thinking he's going to come back, and then he didn't. And now you're like, okay, he's going to probably be out he's going to be out the rest of the season. So that went through my head. And again, it's not going to have the tragic, what I feel like is a tragic ending for Lonzo Ball. I don't think, I think Stroman will probably be fine with, do people even talk about Stroman coming back to the Cubs next year? I mean, that seems dead in the water, but who knows? Even though he did struggle mightily before he went on the injured list, he had a great season with the Cubs. Now, to the caller's question on what I would like to see, two things like go through my head right now. One of them is get Edward Alzolay right. He's been struggling a little bit, and I believe he will. He doesn't seem like the type of guy who would melt and just continue on this trajectory. Save, closers blow games, but he's got to get back on track very quickly. So I'd like to see that. And then the obvious one is, you know, based on the Stroman conversation, is Jameson Taillon, who continues to give up early runs and really, really hurt the Cubs' chances going on in a game. You know, he's here, give the team a chance to win. Jameson Taillon has not been putting the Cubs in a good position to win games. You know, Leo, do we have the Ron Coomer from the other day? Can we do that right now? Because this was before his start yesterday, where he gave up the early runs again, eventually settled down. But this has been on my mind. I know Cubs fans, it's been on your mind. You may be skeptical and cynical, and obviously you will hear from the question that I'm about to ask Ron Coomer. I am, but maybe Coom can make you feel better. Coom, I want to talk a little bit about the starting staff, and obviously Justin Steele and Kyle Hendricks, I got no concerns there, but with Stroman down, you know, we talked about Jordan Wicks hopefully maybe stepping up, but nobody can just sit here and assume that he is going to be the key to your down-the-stretch pitching or even in the postseason if the Cubs get there. Can you make me feel better about Jameson Taillon being that guy?
I can, yes. I'm a fan of Taillon. Early in the season, they tried to, you know, take a step forward from what he did last year, which he was 14-7 or 8 or something like that with the Yankees, and they tried to add a pitch, which did not work out, and he got killed by not having command of that pitch in the strike zone, not out of the strike zone, but in the strike zone. Way too many pitches in the middle of the plate. And he paid the price for it, it seemed like, every time. And with throwing that cutter, then he lost his curveball. He really didn't have the same breaking pitch that he did a year before. And in that game right before the All-Star break in Yankee Stadium, you know, they had kind of gotten away from what he was doing early in the season and got back to what he was doing with the Yankees. And I like that progression. He's really pitched some good games. You know, and since the All-Star break, his ERA is much better, much more what you think. I'm a fan. I feel like he's going to be a guy we're going to be able to count on here going down the stretch. Good fastball, good tilt on his fastball. And if he can pitch ahead in the count with his heater, he's going to be just fine.
I trust in Coom. I don't know if I'm there yet, especially based on his performance yesterday. But they need him badly, and who knows? Maybe just put Jordan Wicks in the pile of Cubs players this year that you didn't necessarily think you would get big time stuff out of, and you'll get big time stuff out of, because you didn't. These first two starts for Jordan Wicks, those are big time, man. I mean, those are pitching performances when it counts. You know, one of them against the Pirates. Say whatever you want because it's the Pirates, but this is big league baseball, and that was his debut, and he struck out 9 over 80 pitches and then pitched very well against the Reds as well. So that's yet another guy, another revelation, as so many players on this team have been, whether it's Bellinger or the guy that pitched 8 shutout innings today, Justin Steele. We've mentioned Nick Madrigal a few times. Like, he's helping you right now. Nick Madrigal, you know what Nick Madrigal was until now? He was a project. He was a project that the Cubs were allowing him to learn at the big league level. They obviously sent him back down, tuned him up a little bit. Hey, we're going to tune this guy up. Then they bring him back. And, you know, he started a double play today in the 8th inning that may have been the biggest defensive play in the game after Justin Steele walks the leadoff guy, is 3-0, and then Steele gets Casey Schmidt to hit into the double play. So he's been a steady performer at third base, had a big 2-run hit in the game yesterday. And, hey, man, he's still got that one trick that Nick Madrigal has always had, he still has, and that's the man makes contact and he does not strike out a lot. I think he's third least, I think, of qualifiers in Major League Baseball this year. So he's got all the tricks still, and it seems like the Cubs are smoothing out the edges to some degree. 312-644-6767. If you want to talk Cubs and who you give the most credit for the turnaround, we definitely will continue to entertain them because it's just big stuff. And we will start to get into the Chicago Bears as well because they open up, man. I was at Halas Hall today for the first practice of the real season. Thursday is when football actually starts. That's when you will see the Lions go to 0-1 on the season when they go to the Chiefs. So all that Lions momentum will come to a halt on Thursday. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
D-Way is freaking you out? I mean, I don't know that like 90s and 100 is necessary. We'll have a good warm summer. And of course, yes, we're going to hate when it's cold, but I've just never seen that as, especially in a geography that has humidity. We don't need it. It's Mark Grody, 312-644-6767. I'm going to talk Bears here in just a second. We're going to hear from Jaquan Brisker. Got a few cuts from Brisker. I haven't heard Brisker yet today, and I'll tell you about that in just a second. And we'll get into the Bears. Let's wrap up some of the Cubs stuff, though, starting with Pete in Sioux City, Iowa. How you doing, Pete?
Hi, Mr. Grody. Great to hear you. Happy Labor Day.
Thank you. Happy Labor Day to you, too.
Hey, just a few things. I was proposed in Wrigley Field in 1995, was married in center field in 1996. Harry talked about us four times on the broadcast August 17th. Ever want to go back and look at Pete Loves Amy on there.
Congratulations, Peter.
We'll be okay this year because an homage and prayers out to Buffett's family, but we got an angel in the outfield now, so looks like a World Series win this year with Jimmy out there playing center for us, too. So last couple things, you know, we're a MLB network place, but because we're in Sioux City, just wonder if you'd advocate for us. We're 8 hours away and we're blacked out, so
ridiculous.
We never get to see those. So if you'd tell Pat and Coom, love those guys, listen to them forever, but instead of talking about North Shore diapers, make sure they tell us the score once in a while. And then last thing is just wondering your thoughts on Wisdom and Mastroboni. Maybe get Canario and Mervis and maybe PCA up, see if maybe they can give us a little bit more offense. But I'll get off now. Hey, love listening to you, Mr. Grody. Again, happy Labor Day, and great out there to all the Cubs fans and Bears 24-10 on Sunday.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I think Pat and Ron give the score plenty. Pat's a pro. He's a Hall of Famer. Come on. The North Shore diapers thing. I often hear a tinge of sarcasm and laughter when that's happening. But I think that's pretty well out there. Yeah, Patrick Wisdom. I do love a good Patrick Wisdom home run, but I think that we've just about run out on Patrick Wisdom. It is a good story. And he's been a good Cub, but I don't know that he's part of the future. I'd almost forgotten about Matt Mervis, but Matt Mervis is still there. Yeah, he is definitely somebody to get excited about. Alexander Canario is on the roster now, and hopefully we will see him get into bat in the regular season. I mean, I don't blame David Ross for not playing him or putting him in right now. I wouldn't want to either. The guy was crushing the baseball at AAA for sure. I get why he's here. But in this situation, you got to really pick your spots for a guy who has never taken a swing at the major league level. But as I said earlier, I do have a little bit more hope for him than Caleb Killian, who also was part of the Chris Bryant trade in San Francisco. But thanks for the call, Pete. Appreciate it. 312-644-6767. Let me just read a few of these text messages here. It was in an Athletic article a couple months ago. Since it's PJ week, it's present tense, basically. Jake in Evanston. Yeah, I'll be at the Pearl Jam concert tomorrow. From the 224, I had to hang up, unfortunately, but Dansby Swanson changed the narrative in the locker room and the front office. That's a good call. Like we talked about who is most responsible for this Cubs turnaround. Now, I know Dansby Swanson has been in a mighty slump recently, but He continues to play exemplary defense, and he's been my favorite player on the Cubs this year. And I know the answer to that question is, like, who's your favorite? Like, Cody Bellinger is your favorite player, and I get it, and I understand, but I do like the way Dansby Swanson played baseball for sure, or plays baseball for sure. This one is interesting, from the 408. Great job, Grody. Okay, you're onto something there. But then he says, Jay Steele is a better pitcher than John Lester. Now, I know I've been wrong about Justin Steele, but I am not going to tell anybody that he is a better pitcher than John Lester. The resume is slightly heftier for John Lester than it is Justin Steele. Now, are there similarities between those two? 100%. That is a good comp for Justin Steele, but no. And I don't even think that the texter actually thinks that. I'd be really surprised. 815. Mark Leiter is the biggest weak link at the back end of the bullpen. He blew it in Game 3 of Milwaukee series and was responsible for the blown Game 2 on Friday, Cincinnati. He got no one out. He has only one pitch. That's a good call, man. I mean, has in that one pitch, it is starting to wear thin, the split. The old, you know it's coming, can you hit it? And lately they are hitting it. So, and it's, you know, Mark Leiter has been terrific for the Cubs this year, but he has been slumping, and he's a guy that the Cubs can give themselves a pat on the back for getting as much as they have out of him, and hopefully he will start to turn things around again. But yeah, the bullpen is definitely an area you got to keep an eye on and how much they are taxed. Hell, I mean, I think the same thing about Justin Steele, but he seems to just be pounding right through it, man. I mean, I was worried about that today with him. Would he hit 100 pitches? I was like, oh, no, maybe get him out of there. And you know, they did, because I thought maybe they would keep him in for the ninth, but they did not, and he goes 8 strong and struck out 12. Let's get into the Bears here, shall we? 312-644-6767 if you want to talk Bears. And I will not take your Cubs calls. If you want to talk Cubs, it's absolutely fine. It's a holiday. But before Chicago takes on Green Bay in the season opener, tune in Sunday morning from 9 to noon for the PNC Bank pregame show presented by your local Ford dealers and Fox Valley Coins. Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley will get you set for the week one showdown. Then immediately following the game, we'll have the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley will have instant reaction to the season opener. All of it can be heard on 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app. Well, I actually do think it is apropos to refer to it as a showdown. I also think that this season opener for the Chicago Bears against the Green Bay Packers is an absolute must-win for the Bears for so many reasons. And I know we misuse must-win and what a must-win really is. I'm sorry. This is a must-win for the Chicago Bears. I mean, you could start with the fact that the Bears lost 10 straight games to end their season last year. You can't start the season by tacking on a loss to pick up from where you left off last year. The big reasons for it being a must win. And then you could go to the division factor of it. It's Justin Fields versus Jordan Love. Finally, there's been a break, we think, I assume, in the Hall of Fame trajectories of Green Bay quarterbacks. One is already in. His name is Brett Favre. Another one will eventually be in after he finally stops playing, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And if you want to talk about Bart Starr before that, a lot of people want to talk about Lynn Dickey, too, for some reason. But if you really want to go with that, so can you imagine if Jordan Love outplays Justin Fields and the Bears in week one? I am completely comfortable in referring to this as an absolute must-win for the Chicago Bears. It's at Soldier Field. Expectations are way higher from Bears fans, from the Bears fans that I speak to and see on the text line and see on my Twitter timeline, that most people are, and I have no problem with this, Bears fans, most Bears fans are not willing to accept that this is going to be a 3 or 4 or 5 more win season. That's not what you're thinking. Maybe you were thinking, I mean, that's a rational thought process to think, yeah, just a few more wins. I mean, you only won 3 games last year. You lost 10 in a row. I'll take 6 or 7 wins. Nope. Nope, that's not the way. Because if the Bears start the season 1-5, you're not going to be saying, well, they just get to 6 wins this year, which they still can't. You know, look at the schedule, and they can still get to 6 wins. If that is the case, you are not going to be happy at all. And if the Bears lose this game in week 1 to Jordan Love and the Packers, it's going to be something of a sports civic tragedy. For different reasons comparable to what went down in 2019 after the great season of 2018, the Bears opened the season against the Green Bay Packers. There was a parade on Michigan Avenue or something that day. I thought my neighbor Chance the Rapper was going to do like a pop-up concert. Those were the vibes I was getting from down the block. But that never happened. But it was like that, symbolic of it all, that coming off that season, here comes Aaron. Remember in 2018, remember how they ended that season? They clinched the division against the Green Bay Packers at Soldier. I was there on the sideline. They clinched it. It was so perfect. And then obviously you had, again, sports tragedy on the double doink and all of that in the playoff game. But that did not quell the collective enthusiasm that existed in this town, and then they laid an absolute egg. They were booing in the, was it the first quarter? I think it was the first quarter of that game. I'm on the sideline. Mitch Trubisky is quarterbacking. The Bears are 3 and out. The boos start, and I'm just like, oh my God. After all this build up to this, the Bears are back, and they got no offense. So you just cannot have a repeat of that, of the vibe that exists and the vibe that occurred in 2018. And then just, you guys understand what I'm saying. You cannot lose to Jordan Love in week 1. 312-644-6767. I'm going to get into some of the stuff about the Packers and what they look like this year. But first, let's go to Jerry in Oak Park. Hello there, Jerry. Let's talk Bears, man.
Hey, guys. Yeah, hey, my only thought is, you know, we didn't see much of Justin in the preseason. So, you know, flip a coin. Who knows what we're going to get? Did preseason, did he throw one ball over 40 yards?
No. Actually, he did. You know. There was the play. Thanks, man. Jerry. There was the play with DJ Moore. Now, DJ Moore, I think, was more responsible for that because he caught it and looked like he was down and then he ran. I think that was a 40-plus yarder. But to your point, yeah, it's kind of like who knows what you're going to get. And typically NFL teams, because of the abbreviated preseason, that is not just the abbreviated preseason, because that's only been going down for a couple of years now where they cut off a game. But also teams just, you know, they just don't play their players. So there's a lot of sloppy play early in the season. So if the Bears are going to get wins and beat Green Bay and then at Tampa Bay in the first week, and I know that both those teams are suspect too. You got to get teams early, but everybody's got a little rust. Like weird things happen in this version of the NFL early in the season, just because of the rust factor. I mean, that's real. That stuff is real. I mean, that's why I worry about the Bears in general, because they've had so many injuries, and you could say, well, they're going to be fresh, and that's obviously the idea of so many starters sitting for so many teams, but you can't deny the fact that even if you're sitting and you're healthy, that's a real rust factor. And are you at game speed? And the Bears have had tons of problems injury-wise on the offensive line and the defensive line. It's John in Dallas. Hi, John. You're on the Score.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Good, John. How are you, man?
I got the Bears. I don't know what the final score is going to be, but I got the Bears scoring 28 points. Fields will throw for 3 touchdowns and run for 1. And only way they lose is the defense let them down.
You think the defense will let them down?
I don't know. I'm saying that's the only way I can see them losing.
Okay.
They will score 28 points.
Thanks, John. I appreciate the call. I mean, the Bears scored points last year because of Justin Fields, so it's a really a great call and a great point. Will the defense be better? Will they not be 31st in the league? Will they not be putrid this year? And there is reason to believe, just with the talent upgrades, where you do have a guy in Yannick Ngakoue, who can get to the quarterback. The Bears were so awful at getting to the quarterback last year. But what does DeMarcus Walker have in him? Is he truly ready to go? Because he's barely played in training camp, let alone the preseason games. I mean, it's just been bad for him in that regard. So, you know, Rasheem Green, he's had a pretty good camp, but, you know, not exactly known as a sack master. You know, we'll see. Is Dominic Robinson, does he suddenly turn it on when the season begins? He did not flash enough during preseason or in training camp as well. But, you know, the Yannick Ngakoue, that thing is real. Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards at linebacker, that is absolutely real. And that brings us to Jaquan Brisker in his second year. Is he real? Is he going to take that next big step? Because he was very good for a rookie last year, but he's been the last guy, the last guy on the preseason injured list, if you will. We still don't know what is wrong with Jaquan Brisker, but he has been out. I saw him in warmups today. I did not get to hear him today because the Cubs game was an hour and 59 minutes, and I was like, oh, crap, I got to get out of here and get back to Chicago and do this radio show. And so while I was driving back, Jaquan Brisker spoke at Hal's Hall, and let's just start with him talking about the injury and if he's going to be ready to play. What's going on? What's the injury? What can you tell us, Jaquan Brisker?
You said the injury this time is also the thumb, or?
No, last year was the thumb.
And so what is it this time?
I'm not going to speak on it.
So we're not going to tell us what the injury is, if it was a thumb injury, and we really didn't learn a whole lot of anything right there. Here's another cut. Again, I'm listening to this for the first time as well. So Wednesday is a big day. That's what Matt Eberflus said. Eberflus, the Flus. I was there for the Flus today. The Flus has been telling us. He's been saying that Wednesday is the big test day for Jaquan Brisker because that's the next time they will put the pads on. Let's see what Jaquan Brisker is saying about Wednesday.
What are the benchmarks that you're going to try and hit on Wednesday that will tell you, yeah, I'm going to go for week one?
Just make sure that I'm still feeling the same. The physicality part, I'm not ever worried about that. I love being physical. That's nothing. You know, it doesn't matter what type of injury it is. I'm going to be physical, you know. But everything else, you know, just make sure I could, you know, move and things like that. Get back right and make sure I'm in shape.
All right. And I do believe them on this one. Like, sometimes we're skeptical about, like, Do they actually know? Does Matt Eberflus really know that he's going to play or not play? This is one time where I don't think they know, and I think that they are being real when they say Wednesday is the test day. Matt Eberflus has said that a couple of times now, and I think that will be the case. Get the pads on, take a couple hits, go full speed, see how you feel. If you don't feel right, you ain't going to play. A couple more cuts here. Says he's itching to get back out there.
Yeah, I love being out there, especially with my teammates and things like that. So I really just had to lock in, you know, make sure I take, you know, every day, you know, every step, make sure I focus on, you know, trying to get back, try to move forward every single day. No setbacks. That was a huge thing. Make sure I had no setbacks. Make sure I come out that I'm feeling full speed. You know, I'm not thinking or anything like that. So I feel like I came back at the right time. You know, I feel great. So, you know, I made sure I was still around my teammates, made sure I was still making all the calls and things like that, still working out. So when I'm back, that, you know, I don't have no setback, whether that's in the weight room, you know, on the field, outside the field. So I made sure mentally and physically that I prepared myself. But I just couldn't be out there. But, you know, no, I feel great. I feel like I haven't really missed a step. I feel like my condition is fine, too, while I was running out there and things like that. So I feel good. I should be ready to go.
Jaquan Brisker right there. And, you know, another reason that you should want him out there is the depth at safety is a little bit suspect. I like Elijah Hicks, and he got into some games last year that he, you know, that they probably wasn't ideal that he was in there and producing or having to produce as much as he did last year. So he's got some practical experience, but, you know, it's like I said, the depth is suspect at the safety position. Final cut here before we take a break from Jaquan Brisker. Can't wait to face Green Bay.
Juan, I know you want to be out there no matter what, but the fact that it is Green Bay, it's week one, does that add a lot of fuel to your fire?
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. I didn't get to play last year, the second game here in Chicago, so I didn't really get to feel the vibes. I wasn't even at the stadium. But now I can't, you know, I'm waiting. You know, I'm itching. You know, it's Packers week, so I know it's going to be live in the stadium. You know, fans everywhere. You know, it's going to be loud. You know, people hate Green Bay. I hate Green Bay. I know I can't wait. You know, they didn't get to see me last year. They're going to get to see me this year, though.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Goosebumps, man. Just when I was bored with what Jaquan Brisker was, because it's always boring to talk about injuries, and I love Jaquan Brisker. But, man, that the fireworks finale. I hate Green Bay. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Jaquan Brisker, man. Let's hope we see that guy out there. Keep an eye out for number 9. I think he's going to play because you know why? Because he hates Green Bay. We'll talk more about Bears-Packers next on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
The Cubs playoff hopes are alive and well. Will they open? Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Bears-Packers on Sunday, 3:25 game. You know, the Bears were 3-14 last year. The Pack with Aaron Rodgers, 8-9, and that caveat is necessary when you're talking about anything you want to carry over from the Packers. However, there is some carryover that gives me concerns regarding this game, and that is that the Packers do have a pretty good offensive line. Last year, they were 5th in pass blocking, 8th in run blocking, and they do have their key guys back on that offensive line, and we know how bad the Bears defense was last year, and you hope that they have guys that can break on through unlike last year. And I didn't even, you know, mention the, you know, Zach Pickens and Jervon Dexter. Talked about Yannick Ngakoue and DeMarcus Walker and Rasheem Green and maybe Dominique Robinson, but they're going to need those rookies to show up at some point in time, maybe not make a huge splash right away, but look, second and third round picks, they will be expected to produce for sure for the Bears. So that's one thing. Obviously, you have Christian Watson there, Romeo Doubs as well, a rookie Jaden Reed, who apparently they're pretty high on right now, are the Bears. And then they've got those two stalwart running backs, and Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and the Bears were no good at stopping the run last year. I don't have to tell you anything about that. Now, here is on the good side. Guess who else didn't stop the run last year? The Green Bay Packers. They were not good at stopping the run last year. They were 31st in that regard last year with the Green Bay Packers in stopping the run. So, game plan, Chicago Bears? Game plan? Here comes Khalil Herbert. Here comes Dante Foreman. Here comes Roschon Johnson. Hell, give Travis Homer a run or two. You know? Jet sweep, maybe. Packers defense in general was 20th last year. It's a defense that everybody expects to be good every year because there's a lot of individual talent, like a ton of first-round picks on their team, and they do have Lucas Van Ness. I haven't really heard much about him in the preseason, but Lucas Van Ness is there. But yeah, you hope that what you hope as far as Green Bay is concerned in their defense, and we're just talking about that, is they don't, that their talent is not realized because that talent, like I said, exists. I'll be on all week talking about the Bears. Tomorrow I will be off because tomorrow's Pearl Jam. Yes, tomorrow's Pearl Jam. I will be there. But then I'll be back at House Hall on Wednesday reporting right here on The Score. For my guy, Leo Stoddard, did a great job producing this here show. Thanks for all the calls and the texts. Follow me on Twitter, at Mark Grody Sports. We could hang out on Instagram. We could hang out on Facebook. And guess what's next? Pat's Call to the Hall. Pat Hughes. Get to hear his Hall of Fame speech and some of the build-up to it. I know Zach Zaman and Ron Coomer, they will talk to you about the great career, which ain't stopping anytime soon for the great Pat Hughes. I'm Mark Grody. Have a great rest of your holiday today on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Bed down. Yep.
The Cubs playoff hopes are alive and well. Will they open? Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
There's Packers on Sunday, 3:25 game. You know, the Bears were 3-14 last year. The Pack with Aaron Rodgers, 8-9. And that caveat is necessary when you're talking about anything you want to carry over from the Packers. However, There is some carryover that gives me concerns regarding this game, and that is that the Packers do have a pretty good offensive line. Last year, they were fifth in pass blocking, eighth in run blocking, and they do have their key guys back on that offensive line, and we know how bad the Bears' defense was last year, and you hope that they have guys that can break on through, unlike last year. And I didn't even, you know, mention the, you know, Zach Pickens and Jervon Dexter. Talked about Yannick Ngakoue and DeMarcus Walker and Rasheem Green and maybe Dominique Robinson. But they're going to need those rookies to show up at some point in time. Maybe not make a huge splash right away, but look, second and third round picks, they will be expected to produce for sure for the Bears. So that's one thing. Obviously, you have Christian Watson there, Romeo Doubs as well, a rookie Jaden Reed, who apparently they're pretty high on right now, are the Bears. And then they've got those two stalwart running backs, and Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and the Bears were no good at stopping the run last year. I don't have to tell you anything about that. Now, here is on the good side. Guess who else didn't stop the run last year? The Green Bay Packers. They were not good at stopping the run last year. They were 31st in that regard last year with the Green Bay Packers in stopping the run. So, game plan, Chicago Bears? Game plan? Here comes Khalil Herbert. Here comes Dante Foreman. Here comes Roschon Johnson. Hell, give Travis Homer a run or two. You know? Jet sweep, maybe. Packers defense in general was 20th last year. It's a defense that everybody expects to be good every year because there's a lot of individual talent, like a ton of first-round picks on their team, and they do have Lucas Van Ness. I haven't really heard much about him in the preseason, but Lucas Van Ness is there. But yeah, you hope that what you hope as far as Green Bay is concerned in their defense, if we're just talking about that, is they don't, that their talent is not realized, because that talent, like I said, exists. I'll be on all week talking about the Bears. Tomorrow I will be off because tomorrow's Pearl Jam. Yes, tomorrow's Pearl Jam. I will be there. But then I'll be back at House Hall on Wednesday reporting right here on The Score. For my guy, Leo Stoddard, did a great job producing this here show. Thanks for all the calls and the texts. Follow me on Twitter, at Mark Grody Sports. We could hang out on Instagram. We could hang out on Facebook. And guess what's next? Pat's Call to the Hall. Pat Hughes. Get to hear his Hall of Fame speech and some of the buildup to it. I know Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer, they will talk to you about the great career, which ain't stopping anytime soon for the great Pat Hughes. I'm Mark Grody. Have a great rest of your holiday today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bear down. Yeah.